So today, actually, it was as I was praying in light of today, and I knew all these different variables were going to be here today, and I was thinking about Paul and Jackie and going on this sabbatical, this Sabbath, extended Sabbath rest. And then I was thinking about John and Jill and how for 13 plus years they've worked really without a sabbatical, and how just fatiguing and tiring, and yet this joy that comes out from them of this work that they do. And then me just coming back from about 10 days where my goal was to get some rest. And then coming to the cross, I realize that today, really, we're going to prepare ourselves for the cross by talking about truly one of the incredible gifts of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and that's that four-letter word of rest. This concept that because of who Jesus is and what he has done, we now have an opportunity to truly Sabbath, to truly rest. And I think many times we hear that, and we maybe know that that's true, and we strive in ways for that, but man, rest can be elusive. Amen? Rest can be elusive. True soul rest can be one of the most difficult and unattained parts of what it really means to know and love and follow and live and serve Jesus. It can be one of the last things we experience. And I think especially as we get more and more active in the kingdom, that rest that Jesus affords us can get even more difficult, can feel further away. And so today I just decided that as we prepare for communion, because the cross is really, it's about rest. And the cross is the ultimate spiritual rest that Jesus paid for, that because of what Christ did in his death, his atoning death, his sacrificial death, him taking our sin upon himself, him taking our place upon the cross, that death, that penalty, that payment of Christ and his body and his blood now brings us true and eternal and forever rest. Hope City, can you give me an amen on that? That is the ultimate resting in Christ. And we're going to remember that today. We've been talking about training ourselves this summer, training in godliness. And I think rest is something we actually have to learn how to train ourselves for. I'm not going to go through the passage today, but Hebrews chapter 4 actually uses this phrase, to strive to enter God's rest. Now, isn't that an interesting phrase? You have to work really hard to rest. But isn't that true? Isn't there just something really true in that, that the easiest thing is to not rest? Many times the easiest thing is to just keep going or to live in a state of unrest. And so this idea that we have to train ourselves to rest, to Sabbath, if you will, to Shabbat, to sabbatical, to step away from what is good and busy for times to slow down, I think requires training and it requires intentionality. And for many of us, it is so cross-cultural that it requires work, because rest is not the same as entertainment. Amen? Rest doesn't come necessarily from scrolling. Dane, you talked about scrolling last week of, like, we can get so comfortable living in the exile, right? That we think that scrolling is rest. But inherently, we know that it's not. It doesn't give us that. And so I think rest, also the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about, is deeply cross-cultural. It is very different than what our culture pushes as you get time off so that you can be entertained. Or you can recreate. I'm not going to talk a lot about that word because there's a good part of that word as well. But recreation does not automatically mean rest. And entertainment most certainly does not mean rest. So this rest is something, to rest in Christ is something that I believe we train ourselves for. 1 Timothy 4:7-8, kind of our theme verses for this summer. Train yourself in godliness. We know that our salvation was paid in full by Jesus. There is nothing we can ever do to earn, work for, deserve, be worthy of the gospel. Christ's worthiness made us worthy. Amen. There's nothing we can do. And then as we trust in Jesus alone for our salvation, then we walk into this training program to be more like Christ. So we do train ourselves in godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This is the amazing thing. As we are learning to rest, it is holding promise. There is a benefit in this life, but there is also a benefit in the next life. As we train ourselves in godliness, this is one of the most amazing things that we have benefit. Our training in this life has benefit, holds promise in this life and in the life to come. So today we're going to talk about what it means to have true Sabbath rest. And then we're going to have a time of communion where we remember that our rest really only comes because of what Jesus did. So true Sabbath rest. You know, Sabbath, that word comes from the Old Testament. It comes really from the Jewish people who were instructed to one day a week take a Sabbath day. And it was a day that was holy. And that was set aside, and that became this day where no work was to be done. And then there were other Sabbaths, according to the Jewish tradition. So the beginning and ending of many of the feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonements, they would bookmark these feasts with a Sabbath. And so they would rest going into a feast, and then they would rest coming out of a feast. And then they actually even had a year of Sabbath. And so every 7 years, they would give the land a rest. And it was a Sabbath rest for the land to renew and refresh. And so this idea of rest is as old as God's people. And when God called it holy, he set it apart as different. And that is one of the things about Sabbath rest, is it is different. It is holy. And anything that is holy or different then means it takes an intentional separation from what is normal. And I believe that if we are going to rest like Jesus gave us this opportunity, we are going to have to separate from what is normal in our culture. We are going to probably have to separate from what has been normal for everything about our lives up to this point. We're going to have to separate from what our brain tells us, well, this is rest. We are going to have to make a holy separation between everything that I thought of in my head or my culture tells me is restful, and do it somehow differently. That's what holiness is. It is a separating. Is it a setting apart? It is making something pure. And so this idea of a holy Sabbath is something that is as old as time. Okay. So we're going to really be in one verse this morning because we're preparing for communion. We're going to take a look at one verse, but I'm going to start with three verses. And this is, I believe this is one of the greatest invitations that ever has been afforded. This is going to sound big, but I think it's this big, has ever been afforded mankind. I don't know that there's ever been a much more significant, important, beautiful gift of an invitation than the one Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 11. Look at the invitation that Jesus is inviting all of us. He's saying, here, Matthew 11. You know, many of us have heard this verse so many times, but it's one of those that we've heard it so many times, it can mean very little. Or we can assume it meant what it meant in a different season of our life, or we can assume, but man, my heart and my prayer is that this verse, Matthew 11, 28 in particular, would speak to our souls so differently this morning that we would understand and crave and strive after rest in a way that we never have before in our lives. Here's Jesus' invitation to us, Hope City. He says, come to me. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, says Jesus, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're going to focus today just on verse 28, and we're going to look at just three little keys to this idea of coming to Jesus for rest. So Matthew, again, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is my hope this morning, that this little verse can sink so deep into our hearts and our minds and our souls that we can crave a rest like Jesus invited us into, that we would then train ourselves in godliness to be diligent, to strive after this kind of rest. Because this kind of rest is so good and this invitation is so significant that we say, I'll do anything to get that rest. And I know that the ultimate spiritual rest came at no work or effort on my part, because the ultimate spiritual rest came from Christ alone dying on the cross. But now he invites me into a rest that has impact in this life, that I can live as a rested Christian. I can work hard for the kingdom. In fact, rest is so that we can give our all and work harder for the kingdom than we ever thought we could, because we rest well. And I want that kind of a rest, and I'm going to strive after that kind of a rest. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First of all, what does that word rest mean? Defined the word, it comes from two Greek words. It's anapao. The first one means to reverse direction, and the other one means to stop. So two words meaning reverse direction and then to stop. The definition of that word is to repose, to remain, and to refresh. To take ease, to give or take rest. My favorite word within that is the word refresh. See, we know what it means and feels like and looks like when our soul is refreshed, don't we? We know what that's like. We also know when our soul is so wearied and so tired and so fatigued and so stressed that we can't find that kind of refreshment to save our life. Now, here's the ironic part. As I'm preparing this over the last however long, and it especially over the last couple of days, I felt so hypocritical because I was so far from that kind of rest. I'm serious. I'm like, God, how in the world can I speak on this thing that I can't even find right now? How can I share on this rest that I'm not experiencing and living? And I felt that to a pretty significant degree yesterday, and I just got super honest with God. And I said, God, if this is true, if this is really true, and I'm not just going to sit up there and spew theory that doesn't mean anything, then let's just do something else on Sunday morning. Let's just skip this whole thing. Because if this isn't practically true, as well as theoretically and philosophically and theologically true, if this isn't true in all of those ways, but if this doesn't practically give me rest, then I don't even want to talk about it. Because I feel like a stinking hypocrite, honestly. I had it out a little bit with the Lord in a respectful way, you know, but like I was just like, God, I don't have an interest in this, in speaking it. I have an interest in it, but not in speaking it. And as the day went on and the afternoon went on, I can't explain it, you guys, but God started to put rest into my soul. He started to put his rest into my soul, and all it took was me saying, God, I can't get it. I can't find it. My life is not affording it. You ever been there? You ever been where your life is not affording you rest? Where life is so stressful and so busy and so anxious and so shameful and so, when life is so much that you can't find rest, that is when Jesus is saying, come to me then. Come to me then. And yesterday, you guys, I had a come to Jesus moment. And he answered this prayer. I can't tell you if it'll work for you, but I can promise you it worked for me. And so I can tell you, I think I can be pretty assured it'll work for you. You can find rest when your life is not restful. Come to me to refresh, to feel refreshed. Okay, three little thoughts, and then we're going to have a time of communion. These are not extra deep, you guys. I'm just telling you, this is far more practical than deep, okay? This is because I want you all to experience rest in Jesus. And I want us to remember the cross where he paid for the rest. Three little thoughts on rest. Number one, true Sabbath rest is more about a person than a program. Truly resting is more about a person. Jesus said, come to me. He didn't say, come and do this. He said, come to me. I could have tried to figure out all of the methods to get rest yesterday when I was so unrestful. And I promise you, all of those methods would not have brought me what Jesus just did. Because rest is more about a person. Jesus is going to reframe Sabbath for us. Sabbath in the Old Testament was very much a program. I think it was still based in a person, but it was very much more of a program. And Jesus said, now, if you want Sabbath rest, come to me. You know, the next chapter, Matthew 12, there's a story where Jesus and the disciples, they're walking on the grain field, and it's a Sabbath day, and they're all hungry, they're starving, and they take some grain, and they rub it together, and they start eating it. And the Pharisees come up to Jesus, and they say, what are your disciples doing? Shame on them. Double shame for blaspheming the Sabbath. And Jesus, haven't you ever read what David did when he ate the bread of the presence because he was hungry? And then he said something so radical, it had to drive them up a wall. He said, and just so you know, the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. He said, the Sabbath is more about me than anything that you will ever do. I am, Jesus said, the master of Sabbath. I am the King, the Lord. You want rest? Come to me. Many times we think rest comes from what we do. And I do believe what we do has an impact on whether our life will or won't be restful. But I think the most significant thing about rest is Jesus' invitation to come to him, because he is Lord of rest. He's master. He is sovereign over rest. And if he knows you need rest and you come to him, he will give it. He will afford it. It's a promise. Number two, thoughts on rest from this. True Sabbath rest helps both depression and anxiety. True Sabbath rest helps both anxiety and depression and anxiety. I want to be very careful here, but Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Why I want to be careful in this is I know there is differences in chronic levels or levels of anxiety and depression that become significant mental health and medical issues. And I have experienced some of that from an anxiety level. So I know sort of the clinical and when this thing goes beyond maybe what we think of as just sort of anxious thoughts or down thoughts or depressive thoughts, I understand. And I'm not speaking to this in a medical sense right now. I'm speaking to this in the sense of generalized anxiety, generalized depression, or being down. Okay. I just want to be careful in that. And is that clear? Okay. Saying that, the two words that Jesus uses here, those who labor and those who are heavy laden, I want to define those two words quickly because they get at both of these two things. That word labor means a reduction of strength, to be tired, to feel fatigued, or to be weary from painful labor. It's a weariness. It's a, I am weighed down. I have no strength. I'm tired. I have fatigued. I have overworked. And now I am, if you think of it, I am now depressed. I have been pushed down. I have nothing left. This generally comes from our past. It comes from being overworked, usually on many levels. So it comes from either overworking mentally, spiritually, relationally, financially, physically, pouring ourselves out beyond. It can come from a deep sense of shame over sin. Shame is one of the great things that gives this idea of being, that will weigh us down. Remember, shame is not saying I've done wrong. Shame is saying in our minds, I am wrong. It's personalizing our sin. And nothing will make you more depressed and down and put you into a hole greater than shame and condemnation. And praise Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Amen. And Jesus took the shame and he disesteemed it on the cross. And so our sin and our shame and condemnation was taken care of on that cross. And when Jesus invites us to come to him, it is when we are depressed, when we are labored, when we are weary. He invites us to come to him in those times. Now, the second word is the word heavy laden. This word means to carry a heavy a load. This is not I carried. This is I am carrying a heavy load. This is like overburdening an animal. The picture comes from sort of like taking a donkey and overburdening a donkey to where he is so weighed down. He's just straining, like every muscle in his body is shaking because he's trying to hold up the weight of this thing that is too heavy. Have you ever shaken under the weight of life? And look at some of the literal definitions of this. To load up and overburden to a place of stress and anxiety of any type, spiritual or physical or mental or emotional or relational. This is anxiety at its core. This is, I can't take this. This is future-based. I can't keep going. This is too much. It's too much weight. It's too much pressure. And Jesus said, when you feel that, come to me. Come to me. When you are so tired, when you are so stressed, when you're feeling such shame and condemnation, when you're feeling the weight of life, he makes the greatest invitation when he says, just come to me. I want to help you. I want to be your helper in both of those things. So where do we go? Where do we normally go? What is our go-to when we're stressed? What is our go-to when we're fatigued and tired and burned out? What is our go-to when we're so down we can't get up? What is our go-to when we're so up we can't calm ourselves down? Where do we go? And Jesus is saying, listen, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Number three, little thought, and then we're going to have a time of communion. True Sabbath rest depends on faith. True Sabbath rest has faith at its very core. Look at what Jesus said. I will give you rest. I will. That is written, by the way, for those of you who are grammar nerds, okay, all the grammar nerds in the house, that's the indicative verb, which means it is a promise of fact. It is a factual promise. It is something that is afforded to you, not as a maybe, but as I promise, I will. So it depends upon the faith that says, Jesus, if I take you at your word, Jesus, you have promised me rest for my soul. That means it depends upon faith. Many times our faith can take shots. It can take hits because maybe we've tried this or we thought we've had come to Jesus moments and either it didn't work or it didn't last or the anxiety or the depression or the stress or the shame or it came back. And so then we think, well, maybe this doesn't really work. But see, come to Jesus It is a one-time event for salvation, and it is an every-hour event for life's stuff. It is a one-time event for our salvation. You come to Jesus and you will find eternal rest for your soul. And then minute by minute and hour by hour and day by day, when something comes up and my world hits some blockage, it hits some stress, it hits some bad news, it hits something that doesn't go my way, it hits something, I have another come to Jesus moment. And he said, in those moments when life just does life, come to me, because I promise to give you rest. I promise. And so it depends upon faith. So we're going to have a time where we remember Jesus. I know none of this was terribly deep today, you guys, but man, I want rest for us so much. I want this to be a summer of rest for Hope City. I want us to rest really well so that we can work really, really hard for the kingdom. We rest so that we can serve with all of whom we are. We rest so that we can pour out our lives, like Paul said, as a drink offering. We rest like Jesus rested so that we can give our very lives for the kingdom. Amen. We rest so that we can work hard in what God has called us to work hard into. So what do you need to bring to Jesus today? What's that thing that you need to bring to him and lay at the cross again today? What's the stress? Don't look around right now. Don't look at your neighbor, okay? If they're your stress, just keep your eyes on me. Hey, fix your eyes straight ahead here for me. I saw a neck just cranking like. No, you guys, honestly, what is your come to Jesus? What is your reason to come to Jesus today? Because honestly, he'll meet you right there. He'll meet you right there. What is the thing? What is the situation that is causing you to lose that peace and that rest and that joy and that love and that flowing of the Spirit flowing into you so that it can flow out of you? What is that thing that is blocking and stopping that? Because just bring that to the cross today and just say, Jesus, I give this to you today. This is yours today. And then believe and trust that he has rest. It's a promise. All right, worship team, come on up. Let's pray, you guys. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love and grace. We thank you for this great promise of rest. Lord, I pray we would train ourselves in godliness to be a people that experience this rest. Lord, that we would be different. We would set apart from the world in terms of being rested, God, people whose souls are at ease, even if our life is a disaster, Lord. Our souls are at ease, God, because you have promised rest for our very souls. Father, help us to believe that that is a true promise for us. I thank you, Lord God, for this incredible gift, this invitation. Father, I want to pray for anyone in this room today that has not ever really trusted in you initially. They've never had a come to Jesus moment in their entire life. And inside their heart right now, there's something pounding. There's the Holy Spirit, God, just work in their heart right now to reveal to them that what I'm saying is true and they need you, Jesus. So God, if there's anyone here today who has never had that first come to Jesus moment by faith, trusting Jesus that you paid for their sin when you died upon that cross, then God, I pray there is salvation in this room today. I pray there is new life and people being born again in this moment, in this time, as we come to you, Christ, as the only source of our salvation, the only source of hope that there is life after death. So I pray for that, God, and I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that we would bring our burdens, we would bring the weights, we would bring the stressors, we'd bring the anxieties. Lord, we'd bring our shame, we'd bring our sin, we'd bring the feeling of condemnation. We'd bring the lies of the enemy. We'd bring our past brokenness and the chains that have held us back. We'd bring our addictions. We'd bring all of our issues, God, that we have today. We would bring them all to the cross where, Jesus, you said, come to me. You may not change any sick situation, but God, you want to give rest to our souls. So that is what we are going to expect. That is the promise, God, that we want to hold to today. So bless that as we remember Christ, your incredible gift on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray, and for your honor, amen.